passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the last Dr. Kevin show of 2018 here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin show, we like to challenge everyone and everything, and I pride myself on bringing my audience a wide variety of interesting people, and tonight will be no exception. The week before last, we had a clothing optional expert. This week, we got a real estate expert. Some people would tell you that they're both experts in real estate, just a different kind. But we'll get to them in just a minute when I introduce tonight's guest. As always, we like to start it with a hot topic. Now, sometimes we know that the hot topic is something that warms the cockles of my heart, and sometimes it's something that makes me hot under the collar. So this time for the closing, I'm going to throw out a couple of quick things because then I'm going to introduce today's guest and I'm going to let today's guest comment on it. And then we will put them through the ever famous Dr. Kevin sideshow. how did that sound? But before we do all of that, remember 202-570-7057. Let's write that number down, 202-570-7057. That's the number you call if you want to be part of the conversation. If you want to pick my brain or Robert's brain tonight during the show, that's when you want to do it. If you want to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, you can like my page because I'm a likable guy. And you can also post your comments there. I'll be monitoring that page all radio show. And if you're listening to this other than 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, it means you're listening to one of the multiple replays that Ohm Times does of my show, but you can still make a comment. You can make a comment, and either myself or Robert will be happy to get back to you with your with an answer for you. So here we go on the last of 2018 hot topics. So the warm and fuzzy hot topic is that everybody this year, I have absolute confidence that when it comes to New Year's Eve, that they're not going to spend minutes, hours, or days preparing an unacceptable, unachievable, set you up for failure, you don't really want to change New Year's Eve resolution list. I have a warm feeling in my heart that everybody's going to realize what a load of crap making New Year's resolutions really are when you make so many of them so you can set yourself up for failure. So by January 15th, you can go back and live the life you lived before. What I think people are going to do this year is accept, if I want to smoke, I'm going to smoke. If I want to drink, I'm going to drink. If I want to walk around and be a fat person, I'm going to walk around and be a fat person. But be happy in it. Be joyful. Enjoy every puff of that cigarette. Enjoy every shot of that booze. And you know what? As long as the chair doesn't break when you sit in it, if it makes you happy, do it. If it doesn't make you happy, then don't make 5,000 resolutions. Say, I'm going to change some habits and patterns. I'm going to identify it. I'm going to take some responsibility. And I'm going to make tiny little changes that will lead to big results because I will stay with them. I know that the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019 is going to be the year when we get it right and we stop sucker punching New Year's Eve resolutions. So there, that's what warms the cockles of my heart, that once and for all, the human race is going to smarten up and stop doing the same thing every year and think they're going to get a different result when really they didn't want to change any of it or somebody was nagging them, henpecking them, or they were feeling guilted into it. So there you are. There's my warm and fuzzy. My irritation, very quickly, nobody, period, as an elected official in Washington, D.C., should be getting one penny of pay as long as the government is shut down. Not one penny. Not one penny to run their office. Not one penny for their staff. One not penny for their president, vice president, Senate, House of Representative, when you can't get your head out of the Washington swamp and you're screwing over 800,000 federal workers, you shouldn't be getting a single penny, period. Whatever your party, whatever you believe, whatever finger you want to point, I got one finger for you, and it lies in the middle of my hand, and it's standing up all by yourself. You are ruining people's Christmas, their holidays. There are people that are living paycheck to paycheck. Well, all of you jokers live in a lack of reality that thinks that it's okay to do this to 800,000 federal workers, that they shouldn't get paid, and you're still getting your pay and your expenses and any and everything all. So let's start right now by saying that if we want to shut down part of the federal government, let's start with the White House and Congress until they can get their act together and they can do the job. Because why are we paying them? Because they're not getting the job done. So there's my hot under the collar. No party politics here. We're not blaming either party. We're not blaming the White House. We're blaming all of them. We're an equal opportunity blamer in this segment. Okay, that being said, now we'll move on to lighter and brighter things, which is Robert Piloni. Robert, hey. How are you today?
Wonderful, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the show, my friend.
I'm more than happy to have you here. Like I said, we'd like to have a large range of guests on the Dr. Kevin Show, and I don't think we've had anybody with your kind of qualifications before, so I'm excited about having you. Robert is an author and a real estate expert.
Thank you.
Yes, he's exclusive 7LP system for getting homeowners top dollar for their home in perfect time frame ideal to the client has been the cornerstone of his team's abundant overflow of inbound referrals and success in the real estate. Now, I'm not going to read through all of this word for word, but you have a book coming out. The Good Talk is based around Robert's four pillars of communication. The word talk functions as the acronym, and we're going to let that kind of roll out through the thing. All I want to know is, if we sold all the federal buildings, including the White House and Congress in D.C., do you think we could balance the budget and send those guys to homeless shelters? What do you think? Is that a good solution?
As much as I like that idea, I don't think it would put a dent in it.
That is really sad.
Unfortunately.
So did you want to comment on either one of my hot topics, the New Year's resolution or the convention?
I love that. Politics, I do not. I'm ignorant in that by choice. Don't have much of an opinion there. As far as goal setting, that is a major, major part of my book, actually. And we're rolling into 2019. I've got numerous videos streaming online about goal setting and its effectiveness and why 99% of the people in the world don't. And it really comes down to most people overestimate what they can do in 10 years and underestimate what they can do in a day. And it's easier to tell people you have a really hard New Year's resolution and get credit for that and just push it a little bit into maybe February and then call it a day. And then there's commitment, the New Year's resolutions that work a whole lot better. And I experienced that firsthand last year in real estate, actually.
Okay. So,
basically, they're anchors. So let's say one of your listeners wanted to save $12,000 in 2019. Logically, if they're a number person, they would say, okay, the goal is just to save $1,000 a month. And if I do that every month, it'll be fine. That's your typical goal setting sequence. You have a goal and you have a task. And then what happens is life hits, car breaks down, something else that you want to get, and you know, what pays the price? In your mind, the goal doesn't change, but the $1,000 will have to change. So we keep the goal. I'm still going to do it. Maybe I'll make up for it later. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this month I have to spend money on something else. So that month you don't save $1,000. Even next month, if you were to save $1,000, maybe something happens a month after that. So what happens is the thing that pays the price for all of our goals when something comes up, if we're not committed, is the action to actually save it. So what we need is a conscious reminder that usually comes down the avenue of the brain that signals pain to remember the level of commitment and the importance of that goal. And that ultimately is what always keeps us on track for doing the tasks required to reach the goal.
So what I'm hearing you say is that on New Year's Eve, instead of making a bunch of resolutions, if they promise to beat themselves once a day, painfully until they get something done, that it's more effective. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You said the pain path, right?
The lack of sadistic torture, it kind of works that way. It's like you train a dog, sadly. I'll give you an example. If I wanted to save $12,000 this year, and I had to save $1,000 a month to do it, I need to add a third element, what I call an anchor, which reminds me of how important that is to me. And that goes by doing something that is painful that you don't like and doesn't have to be physical. For me specifically, it was running. I was always diagnosed with heart murmurs, couldn't run, didn't like to run, had shin splints all through high school, probably ran 7-8 miles my whole life. Well, I know I don't like running and I don't like waking up early. So my New Year's resolution was more of a level at which my team would hit and my group would hit. So in order to do that, what I did was I woke up every day, and I still do Monday through Friday at 5:30 in the morning, and I have a routine until 8:30. But what it really comes down to is waking up early and running. I ran 1 mile a day Monday through Friday for the whole year, and it was the mile that told my non-conscious every single day, because obviously I didn't need to run a mile at 5:30 in the morning. You know, why are you doing this? And so, so subconsciously you're thinking, I need to save that $1,000 a month. And as long as if I miss a day, I can't do the $1,000. It's almost like my penalty, in other words, like a punishment. Just like you'd be training a dog, you know, a treat if he does it right and no treat if he does it wrong. Our non-conscious, actually reticular activating system in our brain, the RAS, operate that way. They view the world around us on a conscious level the exact same way. So in running every day, something that I hated to do that I wish I didn't do would remind me of how important it is to, in this case, save that $1,000 every month. And we hit our goals. We hit every single goal that we set last year. And I owe a lot of that to some of the principles that we put in the book, Good Talk, Great Sales.
So, okay, so now I've got the book as Good Talk, but is the title Good Talk, Great Sales or just Good Talk?
It actually evolved into Good Talk, Great Sales because it a lot of it has to do with the perspective of a real estate transaction as far as finding clients and operating that transaction and then what to do after. But the principles in the book are really all about communication, and they cross.
Hi, it sounds like I may have lost you. Hello? Okay, well, we're going to keep the show going even so. Okay. Hey, we lost you.
Sorry about that. I thought I got the hook.
No, you didn't get the hook. Though I am going to ask you to take a breath every now and then so I can actually comment on some of what you're saying. That would be helpful. See, Spirit heard my mental request, and it threw you off air just ever so briefly. Because I think what you're saying is of interest. But, you know, the funny thing about radio is if you string too many words together in the same voice without a lot of dramatic flair, people start to tune out. That's why we tend to have two people on the radio, so they can talk back and forth there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to go back and say you've put out a lot of videos about how to motivate yourself, how to set good goals. That's correct?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You know, and so what I do want to let the listeners know is that if you do come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, I have just posted his video channel as well. So you can go there and not only find his website, but you can also find his video channel. And you may want to check out some of these because, you know, Robert, you're striking me as a knowledgeable and exciting guy. And I'm sure that there's much more that they'll be able to follow up and find on your video channel after we finish this interview.
Absolutely.
So part of what I want to ask you is, When you're talking about things going down the pain channels, some people there, I think, and I made a joke of it, because some people, I think, immediately started to shut down when you say that. So you're telling me it has to hurt or it doesn't count. And I don't think that's exactly what you were saying. Could you elaborate on that little part of it a little more?
Yeah, it's not so much a physical pain, but I think we all have a pain, right? You're either going to suffer from the results of the slavery to our impulses, or we're going to suffer from the slavery to our habits. So in other words, you'll either be sad going to the store with no money in your pocket, or you'll be sad busting your hump doing work to know that you're going to, you know, increase your revenue, your influence, and be able to do more and have and be who you want to be. So the pain of discipline is ounces. The pain of regret and remorse and not achieving your goals is in tons.
A much better way to say it. And so part of what I like to do is, because knowing my audience, you know, I'm going on to 14 years on air now. And part of knowing my audience is, you know, what are they going to hear? Even if I know that what you're saying, I'm not disagreeing with, sometimes it's about the languaging part of stuff. And so if out there, you will bring into your conscious, so you're aware of that pain of not having enough money to go to the store, and then balance it with, maybe if I work an extra 1 hour every day trying to get leads, if I'm a salesperson, because that was the example you were giving for your sales team, right? And if I'm saying anything wrong, please correct me. But if you look at it and say, I can spend an hour more on the phone, and then I know I'm going to have that much more to go to the store with and won't feel as bad if I'm not buying something because I can't afford it, or I'm not buying something for my kids because I can't afford it. But you need to make both of those conscious, so you're making a conscious choice. Is that fair?
Yes, but it's even easier than that. It's good. Stuff that nobody even has to know about.
Okay, so we're going to come right back in. We're going on our first break, and we'll be right back with Robert Piloni.
Excellent.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the practical, intuitive, mind, body, spirit for the real world. With me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. We're on today with Robert Poloni. He has an upcoming book coming out in February called Good Talk, Great Sales. If you want to talk with Robert or myself, you can call in at 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You will find that we have posted his website as well as his YouTube channel. And I believe I just got a notice that he's also hopping on and either liking things or making comment on that page. So we're happy to interact with you through the Facebook page or, again, by calling in at 202-570-7057. Be part of the conversation. That's how you grow and expand and get better in the world. Robert, I'm going to start putting you through the pace of the questions.
Okay.
So where would you like to take my listeners outside the box? Now, I know you've got the book coming out. I know you have the system. It can be all about the book. It can be all about the system, or it can be how the roses grow in Wildwood. I don't care. My people want to find out what an interesting person you are. So where would you like to expand their comfort zones and take them outside the box?
Well, that's awesome. Well, roses are a great example because it's one of those things with roses, you learn perspective. And I saw a little meme once that said, you know, you don't hate a rose because it has thorns. Be glad that thorns have roses on them. So I'm glad you brought up the rose bush. But the book goes all over the place. As far as your listeners go, I think they probably deserve to hear more about certain topics of the book rather than real estate in general, just based on geography.
So. Well, and you know what? One of the things people don't keep in mind, and do you prefer Robert or do you prefer Bobby?
You can call me anything you want, Kevin. Bobby, Robert.
Okay.
My birth certificate says Robert, and my wife calls me that when I'm bad, but you can call me Bobby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't want you to confuse me with your wife and think you're in trouble. Because if you did that, you would be in trouble. One of the things is that when you learn good communication, we're always all selling something. And that's what I want my listeners to keep in mind. You may be going, why am I listening to today's show? I'm not a salesman. I will never be a salesman. I'll never want to make money as a salesman. I'm going to tell you right now, you are always selling something. If you communicate, you're selling something, an idea, an opinion. You're selling yourself as a friend or as an employer or as an employee. You're selling yourself as a girlfriend, as a boyfriend. I don't care. I just so you know, Bobby, I used to be a sales training manager. It was probably before you were born, but I was once upon a time. But I want my listeners to keep that in mind as you're talking. These things he's talking about, you can use in all areas of your life. You just have to apply them correctly. So go ahead. I just wanted to set that up for you.
Well, I'm glad you did. It was perfect because you used the word sales many times, and it's even in the book. But the irony is I never sell. I've hit number one at Berkshire Hathaway across the board. I've never picked up the phone and cold called anybody, ever, really. It's not about selling. It's knowing that people want to buy, but they don't want to be sold. It's about serving. It's about adding value. It's about local, just concierge-type service. But that's just if you have a product or a physical service that you're selling. But some of these principles, they work to make men better husbands, women better wives, both better parents, better business partners. It helps communication across the board. It gives different perspectives and paradigms depending on the giver, the receiver. It brings emotion into it. It defines how that works. It even talks about self-talk because you know how, you know, mom said, no, don't ever tell a lie and be honest. And, you know, if you did something, tell the truth. But what I've realized this past year, and a lot of it I put into the book, is the most important person we should be honest to is ourselves. And for most people, 99% of the problem that they're having, if, you know, goal setting, communication, relationships, whether they be professional or personal, if they're hindered and progress isn't being made in life, typically they're lying to themselves. Whatever they're saying they believe, they truly don't. And there's a disconnect between their non-conscious and their consciousness. And it almost translates to almost a guilty feeling. We almost feel guilty from that. And it's all subconscious. It's all in our heads. And it dawned on me one day, I was buying a phone, how fast they upgrade. And yet we get out of college and we just coast through the rest 80 years of our life. And we don't add a single element. And we wonder why we can't rationalize certain things or we can't handle certain things that happen. So I'll give you that break because, you know, I get a little long-winded. But self-talk and the way we communicate to ourselves is huge as far as communication to anyone else.
Well, and, you know, so there are two or three things I want to comment on what you said. First of all, I just love synchronicity and being one of those woo-woo spiritual kind of crackpots that I am. I'm always looking for the synchronicity. My husband and I recently just bought a house, and we bought it from a real estate agent who I absolutely adore, who's from Berkshire Hathaway. So I just had to mention that.
Oh, nice.
Best. I bought a few houses in my time. She was absolutely best real estate agent I ever worked with, and just was over the top. So I wanted to mention that since you also work for the same company or are associated with. But, you know, you made such a powerful statement there, and I really want to talk about that for a second, because one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves in a lifetime is self-honesty. And it's the last one we usually give ourselves. We somehow have to think, we almost have to be self-delusional because we're giving our power away to so many media sources that tell us on a regular basis we're not good enough.
Absolutely. And even if we don't hear it, our insides do.
Yep. And so I think it's really important that to emphasize that integrity of giving yourself permission to be human, be flawed, make mistakes, have issues, and to just constantly try to keep yourself in self-honesty. If more people did that, the world would be a 100 times better place than it is now to live in. But we're almost conditioned that we can only survive through self-delusion. So those are my comments on what you said. Feel free to go at it again.
Well, no, that's great. I mean, and self-delusion goes the other way too. I call them affirmations, right? You could say you are and be and have a lot of these things. And if you don't have them, it sounds like you're lying. But that's an affirmation pushing the lie towards what you actually want, not what we don't want. And a telltale sign that you, as a radio personality, or if you're interviewing an employee, the way you know that person is lying to themselves is the way they act is different than the way they react. So they'll tell you in an interview everything you want to hear. They'll have all the answers. Everything will make sense to them. They speak wonderfully. They just sound perfect, right? But then a couple weeks into the training, maybe a phone rings three times in a row and they roll their eyes and they have this little attitude and huffing and puffing. And that's how you know, because that same person would have had the subconscious, the realness to them would have been able to react differently if that's truly what they believed on a non-conscious level. So that's a tell. I figured that out right away earlier this year in the interviewing process, that truly I can tell when that person finds themselves that they act different than they react.
Well, yeah. And unfortunately, oftentimes we can't see the reaction or the action that they take until after we've hired them, in the case of hiring somebody. I kind of feel like, if we put it out in a centered honesty and people can sense we're being honest, you know, because I've trained people how to do interviewing before. And as I said, I used to be a sales training manager. It was a long time ago, but I did it. And I've actually consulted into places for sales training that have brought me in to help them to develop a better sales department. And, you know, and it's like, be honest. When somebody says, you know, like I go, well, what's your greatest weakness? Where do you struggle the most? Where would you need the most support? when I get a, well, you know, sometimes my hair looks bad in the morning, I go, okay, they're so out of, like, touch with who they are, I can't help them. I can't develop them as a person.
And
I can't support them.
But that person isn't honest with themselves.
Nope.
That's why that answer didn't make sense to you.
Yeah. Or they're so afraid that if people honestly see who they are, that they would never get hired, that they would never be loved, that they would never have a friend, that they would they would not get picked for the damn dodgeball team in eighth grade.
Yes, and that's part of it too, unfortunately. Yeah, absolutely. Those fears are it. That's it in a nutshell. The truth is, they do have mental things to get through. They do have problems, and they can't be honest with you or themselves. So the answer is very vague and very minimal. And I've heard common ones like, "Oh, I'm my own worst enemy. I'm too hard on myself." That's such a cliche. So let's just be honest. And when you commit to honesty to yourself and others, you can answer knee-jerk, you know, rapidly and have enthusiasm and passion because it is from the heart. It's that your self-talk is advanced. You are, quote unquote, upgraded. You're the, you know, the Galaxy 9 or the iPhone X. We're not still using iPhone 3s. So as technology does, we should, you know, within ourselves upgrade our thought, our paradigms, our perspectives. And as we do that, we are changing our non-conscious mind, our reticular activating system. So that, in a sense, makes our new reality a happy, real new reality.
So let me ask you this question. And again, I want to remind people, we're talking to Robert Poloni, who I'm going to call Bobby because I'm not his mad wife. His wife was mad at him. I should be careful how I put those words in order. who is has a book coming out in February called Good Talk, Great Sales. And you can find out more about him by going to his YouTube channel, which we have right on my Dr. Kevin Facebook page, or his website. So make sure you check him out. Watch some of his videos. So here's my question for you. If I were hiring you, which is what I do when I buy a book, because you're an author. I've got like 12 or 13 books out. So I know. So I'm hiring you. So tell me, what is your greatest weakness as I hire you to give me communication advice?
As far as communication, that's my strong point. Don't have a weakness in communication. And if I was to ask you your greatest quality you felt about your realtor you used, it would probably be her communication. So as far as weaknesses go, as far as the process on a professional level, myself and our team don't have them. We have painstakingly broken down the process from mailing out a flyer, trying to get a lead, to a year after that client closes. And there's about 42 steps in between. They're itemized, flow charts have been created, there's role clarity, job descriptions. I by myself with one assistant, we went from, I think, 8 million last year in this market in Tampa to about 18 or 19 million. Just like I said about that morning routine and just being more intentional and consistent when we get to work. So it's that daily consistency in the system and put in place that really does it. And I created a formula, an actual mathematical formula to do that, to operate that way. So there really are no weaknesses. We've perfected the process.
Oh, my. So I think it's very interesting because you didn't answer my question. And we don't let that happen here on the Dr. Kevin Show. We'll just keep asking it.
Was there a second question?
No. There was the first question. You just didn't answer it. So I'm going to ask it again.
What's my weakness? Okay.
Yeah, because I'm going to assume that I didn't ask it well, because that's always my first assumption. But I want to answer your question. If you were to ask me why I loved my real estate agent from Berkshire Hathaway, I loved her because she was real. She was an integrity, but she was real. She was real. She owned mistakes if they happened, not that she made many, but they happened. She was always right there before, during, and even after the sale. 4 months later, I can still reach out to this woman and she will still help me. But because she was a real person, I never felt like I ever was seeing a fake person trying to sell me something. That's why I love this woman, and I would have her to my house for dinner tomorrow. So I wanted to answer your question.
And she sounds like an awesome Berkshire Hathaway agent. So I would have assumed with that personality, she was already a Berkshire Hathaway agent before you told me. And yes, she's great. I mean, that's all part of communication. But what I think you touched on is what I call from a book I read. I don't know if you've read it. It's called The Go-Giver. They talk about the law of authenticity. And that means the greatest thing we can offer anybody is ourselves, our time, our effort, our wisdom, just our time. Just a shoulder to cry on. And the good realtors, the best realtors don't sell. We serve and we're truly authentic and real, as you said. So that's great. And, she's awesome.
Yeah. And this was a point. I'm going to have to send her a link to this interview just so she can hear it. And may I say her name? Do you mind? I don't want to feel like I'm intruding.
I don't at all.
Interview.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, her name is Betsy Levesque, and she's up here in Nashua, New Hampshire. So, you know, obviously a different thing. And I'm going to send her this link to hear mm-hmm. to hear this whole interview. And who knows, she'll probably buy your book. She may already know about it because she's been a top-selling Hathaway person for a while now. So I'm sure it's through
the thing. She sounds like she's got it all figured out, for sure, yes.
Yeah. So, but, you know, when I was saying that you didn't answer the question because – you and I both established ahead of time that if they kind of go, oh, yeah, no, I don't really, I have a bad hair day every now and then, that there's some kind of lack of self-awareness. And my question was, I'm buying you as an author. I'm hiring you as an author by buying your book. What do you think your weakest point would be?
I thought it was about real estate. Well, my weakest part would be my experience in writing books. This is my first one.
Okay, and that's the sound of our thing, and we'll be right back in a second. We've just been put on break, and I am with Robert Pelini, Bobby Pelini. We love him.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Help, my son shot his brother. 911, what is your emergency? 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment on the last Thursday in 2018. And I couldn't be happier than to have as tonight's guest, Robert Pollini, also known as Bobby Pollini, who is a author and a real estate expert. He's got some rockin' bow ties going if you watch some of his YouTube channel, because I was watching him on break. You can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you can find the link to his YouTube channel. I didn't get a chance to watch much, but I got a chance to look at a couple of things. We also have his real estate place, and he has a book coming out in February called Good Talk on Great Sales. And he's going to talk about the four pillars of communication. So normally in this point, I would be pushing you through two more questions. But I think what I would like to have you do is actually go through what TALK stands for. And sure, remember, 202-570-7057. Mm-hmm. That is 202-570-7057 if you'd like to call in and speak to me or Bobby. Go ahead.
All right. So basically, TALK, ironically, gets broken down in the book into an acronym, T-A-L-K. The T kind of has a double meaning. The main 99% of it is really about truth. You have to be 100% honest. It doesn't matter if you're negotiating against an adversary, another with a client, a child, a spouse. Honesty is very important. If we're lying all the time, nothing really matters. Another part of that is tonality. Tonality is huge. I find a lot of realtors trying to communicate, negotiate via text and an email. And it's really impossible to convey information like that via text. There's have you heard of the 38-55-7 rule of communication? So it's basically 7% of communication is determined by the actual words people use. I know you mentioned about when, you know, how you word things. You don't want to sound like a mad wife being mad at me or just mad at me, or something simple like stop, don't, or don't stop. Right? You're saying in a different way, two different meanings. And the other part is the 38% is your tempo in the way you're, how fast you're communicating. And then 55% of communication is visual. So as you see in my videos with the bow tie, the way I dress, I literally wear bow ties every single day. So it's a huge part of it. But the T, as far as truth and tonality, that's the beginning of communication. A is attention. As a radio DJ, as a radio station, what do you want from people? You want their attention. If you have more attention as an audience, everything stems from that. And it's no different in communication. If you're talking to somebody and they're looking the other way, that's going to absolutely destroy the communication. So paying attention is a physical part of communication. The L is listening. That is the non-physical, the verb, the action part of communication. And a lot of people think talking is where communication is, but it's not. It's listening. See, now I'm talking. You're trying to keep up and listen. And in between some of the tidbits you're taking in, you might be thinking, oh, when am I going to talk and this and that, or that other person could be judging. The listener has the huge advantage. Listening gives you, if it's an adversary, it gives you leverage. If it's someone you love, it gives you the information you need to make the best decision. It's just absolutely bar none, the biggest part of communication. And then the last one is K, which is kindness. It's the mindset you should have. It's the attitude you should have when communicating. And it doesn't matter if it's a brutal negotiation, a nerve-wracking interview, an angry talk with your teenager or your spouse or what have you. Whether you're emotionally involved and it's good or bad or not, at the point of communication, that other human being deserves your non-biased, non-emotional ear to hear and mouth to speak. And when we can communicate in a compassionate, kind level, we can get so much more done.
Okay, so I've got some feedback for all of that. Thank you for sharing that, by the way, first of all.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So You know, so first of all, I have to say that as a radio show host, that I'm also happy with accolades as well as attention. I'm just saying. Just want to put that out there.
Nice.
So feel free to tell me I'm great anytime you want. Next, it's very
great
interesting.
Great idea.
Back in the 80s, back when I was doing sales and sales training and stuff like that, I actually created a whole course that I taught in the company that I worked for called Communication, the Art of Listening, because listening should be 80%. Yeah. 80%.
Absolutely.
Yep. And this is going to be tied for me back to that self-honesty. If we're honest enough to check in on what our motivation, our intention, and our agenda is in any communication, then, and we are very clear and we are honest with ourselves about it, and we're even honest with the other person about it, then we don't have to spend so much time trying to manipulate the conversation by talking more than listening.
Absolutely. It's just a domino effect that makes everything better.
And so, and now for you, like, your bow ties are branding. I'm Dr. Kevin. I'm Dr. Kevin everywhere. I'm my Dr. Kevin. If you put my Dr. Kevin in any social media, that's a kind of branding. There are certain things I do for branding. You do bow tie for branding. It's recognition. It also says that you're just a little out of the ordinary. True?
That's a true statement. A good observation. See how effective visual communication is? You already know I'm out of the ordinary.
It's very interesting because watching your video, I was trying to decide whether I was going to share this tidbit that just came across my thing recently, across my awareness, which was that the interview with Gene Roddenberry. I don't know if you were ever a Star Trek or Star Trek Next Gen fan. Yes,
I was not. I was not.
Well,
didn't really get into watching it, actually. I don't have an opinion either way.
Well, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, who was the captain of the single most popular series in that, was a bald man. And when people go to your videos, they're going to notice a lack of hair. And Gene Roddenberry was said, don't you think that they would, don't you think they would have resolved pattern baldness by the 24th century? Why is the captain bald? And he said, no, by the 24th century, they learned bald is beautiful and not to care about it anymore.
That's kind of where I'm at. At first, the transition into full baldness was a hard path. But in actuality, I've kind of grown to actually prefer it. And thankfully, I was born with a normal shaped head.
Minor details. Yes. Your bow tie, your baldness, and your smile, and when you do the videos that look at the camera, says, this is somebody I want to pay attention to.
Thank you. That's awesome. Bow tie Bobby is what they call me.
Bow tie Bobby. And it's a great thing. I don't care what your birth certificate says. Bow tie Bobby with the smile that looks you right in the eyes. There is your branding. So I think the talk thing, the truth, self-truth being most important, because you can't be true with anybody else, and it's active attention.
Yes. It's full body attention. It's eyes. It's what you do with your hands. It's not allowing distractions. If people are easily distracted, then in their minds, they might not even be actually listening to you, although it appears that they are. So I intentionally pay good attention, but that also helps you listen better too. So it's once you know it, you just become a better communicator altogether. It's appreciated more. You come up with solutions to problems, collaborative solutions. And it's a win-win, and it's great. And it's good for negotiating. To be honest, half the negotiations are taken care of by creating a positive professional environment between me and the other agent on the other side of a deal. So through inspections and appraisals and other, you know, pounding negotiations, they become our advocates. No, you don't want to hurt the feelings of someone you like, but you'd go out of your way to do it if they were mean to you. So those types of principles we instill. We instill kindness and compassion across the board. All of our people show up to the closings. There's no bitter fights, and I'm not going to show up. And, you know, there's things called the Black Swan that are in the book as well that I got from Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And that's just identifying the big picture of a deal, that if somebody could just spot that, the big thing that's holding everything back, and then come up with a solution to that, that's usually where everybody's in agreement and you get things done. Increases your conversion rates, it increases your closing ratios, depending if that's the kind of business you're in. I mean, communication works, like I've said it a million times, across the board, personally, professionally. It's good with professional relationships and holding on to those, which is future referrals, future business, easier business. You never have to cold call. I'm just as happy and excited and smiling as I am at 7 o'clock at night at my house as I am at 7 in the morning. And it's really about the approach, and it's all laid out in the book.
Okay. So there's a couple of things that are clear to me. One is, you have a voracious curiosity and you love to learn. Mm-hmm. True? Sure.
Yes, very true.
Yep. I hear that in you. I hear that in you when you speak. And people that love to learn love to teach. So that tells me that this is probably going to be a pretty well-written book. Because you have a commitment to wanting to share the information. Some people write a book because they're told if they write a book, they're going to improve their professional career. And you can tell when you read that book that this is somebody that was forced to write it. I suspect that you weren't forced to write it. I suspect that there was a driving force within you to write it. Am I correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I didn't actually write it. I narrated every bit of it, and had a transcriber, and I have multiple editors probably working on it as we speak. They're out of California, and 17 chapters. The main part of the editing is done. It's gone through probably 2 or 3 times already. So, like, to answer your question about what's my greatest weakness, if you were to hire me, personally, my greatest weakness is I don't know everything about being an author and publishing books. But the good news is, I'm a professional, so I know what I know, I know what I don't know, and I know the difference between the two. So if you ask me to get something done and I don't know how to do it, I'll at least find the team and get them on the bus, the best people, to do it. So you know you're going to get the results you're looking for, and that's basically what I've done with the book. My business coach has just brought the best of the best people, transcribers, website builders, intellectual property people, my publicist that connected me with you. So it's all tied in with those resources.
Yep. And I love Shannon. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a man.
So have you ever sold anything besides real estate?
Let's see. I owned a chain of tanning salons for about 14, 15 years. So I sold minutes in the sun lamp. But other than that, no, I grew up an introvert. I was always really shy, never really out in front. And it wasn't until I got into the tanning industry and simultaneously started reading a lot of books and wanting to advance, my career, being married with 3 children, that I just evolved into this.
So here's a $1 million question that I know is going to fascinate, depending on which way you answer it. So how many of your kids have completed being teenagers?
0. In fact, they are 11, 9, and 7 years old.
Okay. So in about 10 years, you're going to come back in my show and you're going to tell me how this worked on teenagers.
Absolutely.
Because
I'd love to.
One of the things, Bobby, is that one of the places why parents struggle with teenagers is because they really do forget to get them to talk enough, to listen enough, to know where they're coming from. They
exactly.
make all the decisions.
Parents aren't listening.
Yeah, and they make all the decisions about what the teenager is struggling with or not struggling with, or where they're stuck or what they need to do. They come in to solve the problem before they know what the problem is.
Right, or they're more of the old school mentality where they'll just kind of angrily induce the child to figure it out, so to speak. That's the worst thing we could do as parents, is really let anger impose our feeling towards their action and then giving them the responsibility to fix it without the assistance. That's another tragedy, but that's different than communication. That's a little something different. But a lot of those principles are touched in the book. But yes, parents who listen will then be able to identify the problem, but then they also can't be lazy. It's easy to just yell and tell somebody not to do something. It's different than to explain the principles of why they should do this and alternatives, physical support, daily, if not weekly, encouragement and questions about that same topic, you know, just general interest. But it goes back to your realtor. Are they authentic? Or should they have been parents in the first place? So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so,
those who are will love it.
So I'm looking forward to Good Talk, Great Teenagers as your next book. Robert Polony. Find out more about him at facebook.com/mydrkevin. You have a whole bunch of links about how to contact him. Bobby, thank you for coming on. You're a great last of the year guest.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a great night, bud.
Bye.
Bye-bye.